Let all those who love thy salvation say, the Lord be magnified. Let's do that together. I'm going to say, let all those who love thy salvation say, and you're going to say, the Lord be magnified. Could we do that together? Let all those who love thy salvation say, the Lord be magnified. O Lord, you are a God who has good plans. You work diligently and you follow through to accomplish your purpose. Teach us to be like you today. Grant me the grace to say what I should say in a way that nurtures the human soul. In Christ's name, amen. I suppose you're like me and you saw the story this week of the little girl who decided, after she saw a show on TV about dolphins in California, that she and her little sister, her four-year-old sister, would drive to the ocean and look at dolphins. She was 9 years old and lived in Utah. And she got about 10 minutes from home before she crashed the car. Thank God no one was hurt. But I'm not so far from being a kid myself that I can understand what they were thinking. You know, California can't be that far away. The ocean's so big you can't miss it. And I'm sure she believed that it really wouldn't be that hard to get to and they could see the dolphins. It turns out reality is very different. This event is kind of a metaphor about life, you know. Because we live with this myth that what we'd like is not that far away and pretty easy to achieve. But life teaches us that without a good plan and diligent effort, you don't get there. You crash the car somewhere. If we're going to really live well, we have to have a plan to live well, and we have to be diligent every day about living well. And so the proverbist said, here's some good advice for living well. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Now, this using of the ant is it's a metaphor. It's taking something very tangible, and we've all seen ants and anthills, and it's turning it into an illustration of something that's more abstract. Basically, it's saying everybody needs a good economic plan for their life. If you don't have an economic plan, you're the little girl in the 9-year-old girl driving a car, and you're going to crash somewhere. And so the proverbist says, look at this. You can look at an ant. It'll teach you something about thoughtful economic living. We've all watched ants. Here's what I learned from ants. Work is normal. They work. They don't have to have somebody tell them it's time to go to work. They work. It's normal. With your permission, I'm going to speak to some of the younger people in our church. Look, work is normal. Work is normal. If your mom gives you chores, that's just normal. Work is normal. You haven't succeeded in life because you don't have to work. We have these terrible American myths. Work is normal and it's good. Here, if you hate your job, retool and get another one. Work is normal. And if you like your job, feels good to get up and go to work. Huh? Anyone? I like to get up, drink some coffee, and go to work. It's normal. Second, I learned from the ant, rest is necessary. Ants don't work 24 hours a day. Now I'm talking to some of you who can't do anything but work. Something's going on inside of you, and you can't do anything but work. Now that's not healthy. Rest is necessary and healthy. You got it? Work is normal, and we should get up and go to work. But rest is healthy and good. And Christ didn't create us to be slaves. He created us to be free. And Mr. Lincoln set people free 150 years ago. So if you are enslaved today, stop it. The third thing I learned from ants is, it is amazing what teams can accomplish. I like to watch these natural history shows. These anthills in Africa are as big as my house. No one ant did that. They work as teams. Guess what? If you can be a good team player, if you bring your best self, if you bring expertise to the team, you are valuable to organizations. If you got a bad attitude and you don't want to work and you're hard to get along with, you're not very valuable. Companies can find those people every day. But if you have a good work ethic and you are developing expertise and you can play on a team, you have value. The second thing I learned from these verses is I have to take personal responsibility for my economic life, and I can't be blaming other people. It says, without any chief, officer, or ruler, every ant has an internal code. I know what my job is. I can do this. I don't have to be micromanaged. Church? Your economic life right now represents the work you've done and the planning you've had. If you've worked hard and you've planned well, you have a very different economic status right now than people who don't work and don't plan. You're not dependent on national economies. You're not dependent on financial officers or fiscal authorities. You can take ownership. And you begin to take ownership the day you sit down and write a budget. Young people, budgeting is beautiful. It's the pathway to having some wealth. Thanks, Chief. You're going to be my only partner today. 3, plan and prepare in the right season. They work in the summer. Okay, I have a nice patio on the back of my house. I never have to go out there and spray for ants in the winter. But those little guys, those little girls, they come up. I'm spraying those little guys all the time. They prepare in summer. I want to speak to everybody under 40 again. Listen, there are seasons of life. And if you do what you're supposed to do in those seasons of life, you are ready for the next season of life. if you don't do in the seasons of life what you should be doing, you're never ready for the next season of your life. When I was a boy in high school, a guy I knew dropped out of school, went to work at a gas station. This is when gas stations were really gas stations. Does anybody remember? They pumped your gas for you. They gave you prizes. Remember? They give you a glass or they would give you stuff. And they might have had a pop machine in them, but real mechanics worked at gas stations. Now, you pump your own gas, we're not giving you anything, and you can buy a Gatorade in here. So he drops out of school. I'm riding my bike to wrestling practice and baseball practice. He's driving this souped-up car, making money. That gas station doesn't exist today. He short-circuited his future. And I wonder if he ever really recovered. There is a time, young people, to invest in yourself. There is a time to explore and experiment and invest in yourself. There'll be plenty of time to be an adult. Trust me. Can I have one amen? Amen. There is plenty of time to be an adult. There is also a time to invest in yourself, to experiment with life and figure out who you are, how you're hardwired, and to develop that best part of you. I love pastoring this church. I would jump off the steeple if I had to be an accountant. But there are people who love to be accountants and think I'm an idiot because I don't. Look, there is a time for everything, young people, and don't squander the time to invest in yourself, figure some things out, and have the possibility to be expert in your field. 4, give your work and investments time to mature. Okay, you should learn this at school. Maybe some of you do, but I'm gonna tell you the single key to accumulating wealth if you're under 40. Everybody under 40, look at me. If you're over 40, this still works, but it works better if you're under 40. It's called compound interest. Let me talk to you about this. This is how it works. You invest 10 bucks and you make a dollar interest. Now I'm just throwing numbers out there. All right. Next year you got 11 bucks and they pay you interest on 11 bucks, not 10 bucks. You hear it? All right. And after a time, if you do this right, you're making more money in interest than you originally deposited. It's called compound interest. It means you're not working for all your money. Some of your money works for you. And if you're under 20, you got all kinds of time for compound interest to make you wealthy. All right, I'm just throwing this out for free. Don't invest in Bitcoin and GameStop and stuff like that. That's for a different level. You're young. Just buy good, solid, financially healthy investments. Can I have one amen?
Amen.
If you will save money out of every single paycheck, and you will invest it properly, you have a real opportunity to be wealthy. But if you squander every penny you make, and you get a credit card, You are defrauding yourself of wealth in the future. Here's what I can tell you. I can't get 20% interest on in any of my investments. And if somebody offered it to me, I would know it was a scam. If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. But I tell you what, credit cards get 20% interest all day long. What does it tell you that a bank won't give you 20% interest, but they will charge you 20% interest? It tells you that compound interest is the surest pathway to growing wealth. All right. There is a time to let your, there's a time to invest, and there's a time to let these investments mature. It's not just true of wealth, it's true about the way you live. Invest in yourself. Give that time to mature. Don't expect to be an expert overnight. If you get a little bit better every day, you get compound interest on getting better. You get it? I can learn things today because I learned something 2 years ago. If I hadn't learned that 2 years ago, I wouldn't be able to understand the new thing today. Are you with me? So the proverb says, here is a great idea. Look at nature. It teaches you some interesting things about an economic life that you can apply to the bigger picture. And then we get two questions. But first we get this odd word, sluggard. It's used twice. Go to the ant, O sluggard. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? All right. It would be easy to say the word just means laziness, but it's more nuanced than that. It just doesn't mean sitting on the couch and eating bonbons. It means slow moving. It's the kind of person who will be late to their own funeral. They just never get anything done on time. Oh, they might get it done, but I promise you it will never be on time. And I promise you it will rarely be done well. It is a personality flaw. Sluggard means slow moving. It means negligent. It means your approach to life endangers your well-being and the well-being of others around you. It means unreliable. All right. We're never going to have a quality life, and we're never going to have a quality economic life if we don't get the self-discipline to be reliable, to be consistent, to show up and do a good job. So the two questions, how long will you lie there? When will you arise from your sleep? These are illustrations also. I want to translate the first question, how long will you passively accept your present needy condition? All right, I want to talk to everybody here because some of you've got yourself in an economic life that you don't like. All right. How long are you just going to passively accept it? Why don't you sit down with a sheet of paper and make a new plan? Huh? Why don't you talk to somebody who you respect and they seem to be doing well and get some advice? We've got budgeting classes that you can take in this church for free. Some of the smartest stuff I've ever learned about economics, I learned from money consultants. I bought their book. They charge other people thousands and thousands of dollars for a consultation. You buy the book for $25, you get the thousands and thousands of dollars worth of knowledge. Go to the library and check it out. You get it free. Invest the $25, compound interest. We don't have to accept a condition in life that isn't working for us. But the question implies a slowness to recognize what's happening. You have a sluggardly attitude towards what's happening. You just never really force yourself to confront the facts of what's happening. And if you ever do, you give yourself this excuse, well, there's nothing I can do about it. Yes, there is. We are created by God with incredible capacities. You don't have to passively accept it. I want you to know, if you can't recognize your condition, you are endangering your present and your future, and you will continue to be unreliable and economically not well off. I'm sorry, but that's just the hard facts of life. There's a second question that this is asking this proverb. When will you acknowledge your need to change? Okay, this is what I'm asking. Okay, young people, you don't have a budget. When are you going to acknowledge your need to change and write a budget? Okay, some of you aren't so young anymore. Write a budget. Write a budget. It is remarkable. It is remarkable what resources you might generate with just a good budget. I once read a book that talked about paying attention to your budget. And then every morning on the way to work, I would stop at a coffee place and buy a cup of coffee and a donut. Well, I'm paying attention to the money I'm spending, and I'm starting to calculate that cup of coffee costs this much, that donut costs this much. I'm gonna make coffee at home, and I'm gonna let the donut go because I don't want to wear it anymore. And at that stage of my life, that money I saved from buying a coffee and a donut, that allowed me to create more margin in my life. Church, can you hear this? When will you accept the need to change? When will you take responsibility and simply do some basic things that give you a different future? Go check a book out at the library. They've got great ones. They're full of wonderful advice. I would recommend everybody Dave Ramsey's book, The Total Money Makeover. I know people in this church who have used that, and they've radically turned their lives around. It's got worksheets in the back. You don't have to all right. Verses 10 and 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Do you hear that? This is another image. This is another graphic image for us to look at. And this is what it looks like. A little sleep. That means you're fully checked out. Okay. Could I talk gently to some of you who are checked out? You've just given up. You're not paying attention. You never really give it your best shot. You're just surviving. Could I gently shake you this morning? Could I wake you up gently and say, your life is too valuable? Your existence cannot be crammed into a pitiful life. Wake up. A little slumber. That means you're half awake, but you're not ready to change. Do you know what? Sometimes I wake up. I don't have to get up yet. I lay there. I'm not asleep. Right? I'm laying there, but I don't want to get up. All right. That's this image. Some of you know that things aren't right, but you're not willing to get up. The proverb is saying, get up, make a change, do something. A little folding of the hands to rest. This is me about 8 o'clock in my recliner. A little folding of the hands to rest. Do you get that image in your mind? You're not going to get my best out of me when that recliner has gone up. This is passively accepting present situations, neglecting necessary change, and endangering your future because you avoid today what absolutely has to be done. And what is the consequences of this? Poverty will either sneak up on you or it will attack you. There are people sitting here today that poverty snuck up on. It snuck up on them. They always intended to have a better economic life than they have, but poverty snuck up on them. They didn't have a good plan. They didn't have any margin in their life, and poverty snuck up on them. There are people in here today that poverty attacked. They didn't have a good economic plan. They weren't ready. A disaster happened, and in a very short time, they went from a solid economic life to disaster. The disaster didn't happen in the event. The disaster happened years ago when we weren't creating margin and preparing ourselves for the economic challenges of life. All right? Now, some of you are saying, Doc, this is church. Why are you talking to me about this? All right. First of all, your economic life is part of your spiritual life. I hope you know that. Your economic life is not separated from your spiritual life. But I have something more I'd like to say. Jesus picked up this proverb and he told a parable. He said there was a man who lived by these principles. He had a good plan and he worked hard and he was incredibly successful. In fact, he became so successful that he really wasn't sure what he should be doing with his wealth. He became so successful that he didn't have a good plan for the wealth that he had generated. And so he sat down in his office one day and said, I got to have a different plan. And he got to thinking. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down all my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones. And when I fill those barns up, I'm changing my life. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to live for my own enjoyment. You see, his success blinded him to his best options. I wonder if there's some people in this church this morning, you've been successful. You've been successful. But your success is blinding you to your best options in life. Church, your best options in life aren't hedonistic and self-indulgent. Those are not your best options. I wonder if success is corrupting your view of the future. Because this view of the future is very American. I'm going to save up everything I have to save, then I'm going to retire, and I'm going to do anything I don't want to do. Is that the American spirit? What if that turns out that's not Christian? What if it turns out that you're not supposed to save up a bunch of money so you don't have to do anything you don't want to do? What if your economic resources are a God-given gift for you to be more influential for good, especially the older you get? This successful man said, I will say to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax. Eat, drink, and be merry. And then, as Christ often did, the crowd was probably thinking, hey, the guy made it. That's what life is all about. Then Christ shocked everybody. And he said, God said to that man, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? Yes. God bless you. You have been successful. I'm glad. But it shouldn't corrupt your view of the meaning of life and your future investments. Can you hear this? Jesus said, so is everyone who lays up treasure for himself but is not rich toward God. And now I want to ask the hard question. You've managed your money well. You've invested. You live in a good neighborhood. You have nice things. But I wonder, do you have any plan to be rich toward God? Or do you find yourself the spiritual sluggard? The spiritual sluggard who has no plan to be rich toward God. Who is slow to acknowledge that I'm accountable to God for what I do with my life and what I do with the blessings he gives me in life. The spiritual sluggard who says, I know I should be doing something, but I'm just not going to start today. The spiritual sluggard who endangers their future and their eternal soul because it's nowhere on their radar to be rich in Christ. I wonder, when was the last time you asked your soul some hard questions? I have an app on my computer. I can look at my app and see if I'm making money or not. They're out there. I don't know how to do it, but there's people who can do it for you. I wonder, do you have an app that tells you if you are spiritually bankrupt or if your spiritual wealth is increasing? I wonder when the last time you sat down and said, Dear God, I'm not clear about my plan to be rich toward you. And I'm praying that you would guide me. I'm praying that you would direct my way and you would help me create a plan that allows me to be rich toward you. I wonder if you can hear Jesus say, what does it profit you if you are the richest person on the planet, but you bankrupt your soul? You know what he meant by that? He meant, church, we're not taking anything with us. One day, after you wake up in eternity, everything you accumulated will no longer be valuable to you. What will be valuable to you is the richness of the soul that you developed and the richness of the service that you offered to Christ and laid up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. Church. What will it all mean if you accumulate everything you ever dreamed of and you live in the most luxurious retirement place you can live, but one day after you pass, none of that, none of your life accumulation is available to you? And all that's available to you is what you've offered Jesus Christ in a life lived in obedience to him, a life lived in service of others, a life characterized by true generosity. You see, that's all I can take with me, church. Are you hearing me? What does it profit you if you become the wealthiest person in the world, but bankrupt your soul? And then Jesus said, what will a person give in exchange for their soul? What are you giving in exchange for your soul right now? If you don't have a plan to be a fully developed soul, if you don't have a plan to be rich toward God, exactly what are you trading your soul for? Because just like physical poverty, spiritual poverty sneaks up on you. There are people here today, if they were brutally honest with you, they would say, I have succeeded in life. But there is a deep emptiness on the inside. I have succeeded, but to be honest with you, I have an emptiness. I thought my success would make me feel different than it did, but it didn't take the emptiness away. Church, spiritual poverty snuck up on them. There are people in here that would tell you they didn't have a good plan. They didn't have a good relationship with Christ. They were drifting, and spiritual wounding happened because they were attacked by evil and they weren't ready. And because they had no spiritual reserve, they couldn't confront the evil, and the evil led them far astray into things that are ruinous. Church, here's what I'm saying. Go to the ant. If you are a spiritual sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Make a good plan. Invest in your soul. Invest in God's kingdom. Allow the Holy Spirit to grow you through the stages of life. And then you will reap an abundant harvest. If you get all kinds of compound interest for a 40-year investment, what will you get for a 40-million-year investment? All the treasure you have laid up in heaven, Christ pays compound interest throughout eternity. Can you hear me, church? So I'm asking all of us, to do a heart check. And here's what the heart check is. Do I have any plan at all to be rich toward God? Do I have any plan at all at some point soon to just simply start serving God in a meaningful way? At some point to simply include God in my economic life and be generous? At some point to remember that if I handle this all well, when he evaluates me, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. You proved I could trust you, and now I'm going to trust with you more than you ever imagined. Our dear Heavenly Father, teach us to be rich in Christ Jesus. Pray that everybody who's here this morning and everybody who's watching on TV, they'll have a good economic plan. But more, I pray that everyone's here this morning and everyone who's watching, I pray that they will have a spiritual plan to be rich toward God, to make eternal investments, to be about the things that last when this short lifetime passes. And I pray that you would bless us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.